I want to talk about hospitality today. The sermon series is the making of the church, and this is an important part of the church. So much so that I want to look at our references first. As you turn to some of those, hold in readiness 1 Peter chapter 4, that's going to be our main text. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word, which is so rich and lush, and that's why we need a mouthful every day. If we were belly deep in alfalfa, as Ray Vandalin said, we wouldn't want to move anywhere. And so, Lord, you keep us on the move. You keep us wanting more. You keep us hungry and thirsting for more. So we thank you, Lord, for your word, which draws us in and pushes us out. Be with us now as we talk about a major component of the church. As we look at hospitality, Lord, may we remember how hospitable you are to invite us unto salvation. These things we pray in your name. Amen. In the book of Proverbs, you don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 29:18, I've referenced this for a few weeks, says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Meaning that where people are, they need some sight. They need some wisdom. They need some insight as to where they might be going. And so as you turn to the book of Proverbs, you can find much wisdom there. That's a stepping stone for us to jump into this concept of hospitality in Scripture. First thing I want you to know is this. Hospitality is not entertaining. Okay? You might think of great individuals who host, who invite you for dinner, who invite you for the holidays, and the table is perfectly set, the house is perfectly clean, the dishes are perfect, it's old china, and it's layers upon layers upon layers upon, and you say, man, I admire that. Hospitality is not entertaining. Now, it might be entertaining, but it's not just a matter of entertaining. Hospitality is a posture of the heart, and you can see that in Scripture over and over again. And so the Christian, I have to start by saying this, the Christian or the church who is reflecting Christ adequately, properly, appropriately, should be a hospitable church. We should be inviting others to join us. We should be inviting them to come and see what we're about, inviting them into our own lives, inviting them into our own homes. The early church fathers were doing this in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 46. It's a great place to begin this idea. Turn with me to Acts. We'll look at our references first. Acts 2, verses 42 through 46. You may know this as well as I do, but we forget what's there, so let's land there just for a minute. Acts 2, verses 42 through 46. The end of the book of, or excuse me, the end of the chapter there, chapter 2, the end of this chapter in Acts, says this. They, that's the church, or the people who were following the apostles, of course that is the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, it says every day in my Bible, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now there's a quick little brief picture of what the earliest believers were doing and how they looked at being together, how they looked at their life as a church, how they looked at being devoted to Jesus' teachings, how they looked at the reverence of the apostles' teachings and the fellowship therein, how they broke bread and ate together, how they loved it, and they were filled with awe and wonders. They did this on a daily basis. They did this often together. They even were so committed to this, at some points they sold their possessions and gave to those who had need. They shared everything in common. It says again for a second time in verse 46, they broke bread. It says twice they did that, breaking of bread in verse 42, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So this was how they functioned. This was the concept of being together. And as one person was inviting, the other person was hospitable, right? As one person didn't have, the other person was gracious. This is what grew this body. And this is an important piece of the early church or the making of the church. Martha Stewart, the great Martha Stewart, says this. Everyone know who Martha Stewart is? Okay. In Martha Stewart's book, Entertaining, she says this. Entertaining, like cooking, is a little selfish because it really involves pleasing yourself with a guest list that will coalesce into your idea of harmony, with a menu orchestrated to your home and taste and budget, with decorations subject to your own eye. That's interesting. Given these considerations, she goes on to say, it has to be pleasureful. So interestingly enough, she even says that this mother of decorating and concepts of entertaining and hospitality, she even says some of this entertaining is really kind of from a selfish place. That is not hospitality. So if you have people to your home for your reasoning, for your reasons, that's not hospitality, right? That may be entertaining. But even she describes it as seeing things with your own eye. And that's exactly what the scripture speaks against, right? I mean, we have to have new eyes to see and new ears to hear. And so as we look at this concept, I want to kind of have this unfold for you, the real meaning of hospitality. Hospitality, number one, is not entertaining. Hospitality is a posture of the heart. City News in 2018 said this, people are lonely and they want to connect. In fact, eating alone is more strongly associated with unhappiness than any single factor other than having a mental illness. People hate to eat alone. And many, many, many people do. So the church should be thinking about how lonely people can be or are, and being inviting to them, being hospitable to them, opening our homes not only to each other, but to the outside world. That's the second thing I want you to think about as we open Scripture today. Secondly, hospitality should be shown to strangers and fellow Christians. That's what the Bible says. It says that in Romans 12, says that in Hebrews 13. Hospitality is not just for my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is for the unsaved, the unreached, those who are lost, those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who are alone and dying, as well as my brothers and sisters in Christ. So what's the goal of the church in hospitality? What's your goal personally? Those are good questions. Who's the most hospitable person you know? Is there anyone more hospitable than Jesus? Is there anyone who takes more upon himself and then gives more from himself? That may lead us or cause us to think. So last night, our youngest daughter, Acacia, had a sleepover with her young cousin. And they had lots of giggles and fun and time and planning. And the reason this happened was it was an exciting time for them to match and wearing some things together on a Sunday. That was fun for the cousins, right? And so I thought about this. I thought, you know, kids are really good at this. They're really good at being hospitable to each other, as well as fighting, right? I mean, that happens too. But then again, aren't adults like that? I mean, after all, we're all human, right? So when you're young, as kids, you might fight with a friend or a brother or a sister or a cousin or whomever. But very quickly, pretty quickly, kids forgive. Pretty quickly, kids become very hospitable again. Not holding anything against each other. Accepting each other, however they are. And they go back to doing what they do. They enjoy their life. I want to turn with all these ideas to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4. Peter, the Apostle Peter, reminds us of what it is to live for God. And this is what he says. In the smack dab middle of it, he talks about hospitality. Interesting. Listen to the words. Peter says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." So we no longer live for ourselves. We now live for Christ. We now live for him rather than for our evil desires. "For you have spent enough time," Peter says, verse 3, "for you," who's the you? Who's Peter talking to? The reader, right? Might have been the Jew, might have been the Christian, might have been the slave, might have been the free man, might have been the master, might have been a lowly slave. It's also us. "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do." Notice he's not talking to the unbelieving. "You have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. Living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry." He's speaking to people who have come away from those things. Verse 4 says, "They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit." So Peter is calling us to live in the spirit and keep in step with the spirit. Verse 7 goes on to say, "The end of all things is near," and we can feel that, right? Even here today. The end is coming, right? "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray." Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen." In the middle of that paragraph, in the middle of those 11 verses there in 1 Peter 4, Peter mentions hospitality. And hospitality seems to diffuse all angst, all anxiety, all hopelessness, all despair. When someone invites you to themselves, what we're saying is, I care. We care. I'm vested. We're vested. I have an interest in how you're doing. Come, sit, eat, take part in what I have. And it can be through moving someone, if they're moving. It can be inviting someone out for supper. It can be just sharing what you have. And I think a lot of times we resist hospitality because we think it has to be this glorious spread of something. I've had the most wonderful lunches with people over a canned tuna sandwich. So have you. What does that cost? Not much. And so when someone is really thinking of someone else, and we begin to be hospitable with each other, people take notice. And believe it or not, this is what built the church. And this is what will build ours. Hospitality, first of all, is not entertaining. Hospitality is a posture of the heart. Secondly, hospitality should be shown to strangers as well as fellow Christians. And thirdly, we have to ask, what is our goal in being hospitable? Our goal, I think, should be to encourage the body, to encourage the growth, to encourage others when life is sorrowful or sad or lonely or despairing, when life is rugged and tough. So what is your posture? Where is your heart? Is it in Christ? Does it rest there? There's one last reference I want to give you because it's so interesting to me, and it comes from Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, turn there with me quick. Luke 10. In Luke 10, the end of that chapter, Jesus and his disciples come to a village where a woman named Martha opens her home to him. And you may remember that Mary and Martha are sisters and their brother is Lazarus, right? And Mary and Martha are seemingly a little different, like most sisters probably are, at least in some way, shape, or form. Let's see their differences, okay? Let's see what happens here. Luke 10, verse 38 and following. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. That's a lovely thing right there, right? That's hospitable. That's hospitality. The Lord is coming. My home should be open. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me!" Exclamation point. Get her going, Lord, right? Put a whip behind her. What's Jesus' response? "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Well, that's an interesting paragraph, right? Considering hospitality. Here is one sister working, in a sense, complaining about her other sister who is there in the house with her, not working, and the Lord corrects the one who is working. And what does he say? We can get lost in hospitality too, can't we? It's really what he's telling her. Don't get lost in hospitality. Get lost listening to me. So the third thing I want you to know is hospitality is simply this: it's obedience. It's obedience. It's not entertaining. It can be entertaining. It can be wonderfully entertaining. But it's actually a posture of the heart. How does your heart sit with and waiting with the Lord? Is it something you care to visit? Because hospitality really is this, and I title it this way, Christ's invitation of care and joy. Christ invites us to be hospitable because he has been hospitable. Christ invites us to draw others to ourselves because he has drawn others to himself. Christ encourages us and demands us to forgive because he has forgiven. Christ reminds us to obey because he has obeyed. And so if we're going to be like him, if the church is going to be like him, if his bride is going to look like him and wait for him and be like him, we have to consider his kind of hospitality. It's a posture of the heart. It's not simply opening your home. And we can get lost in that too. Hospitality should be shown to strangers and fellow Christians alike. Not one or the other, but both. And so what's the goal of the church? To be like Christ. To invite someone over. To spend time. To see their need. To have eyes to hear, eyes to see and ears to hear. You know, I think I gave Shelley another slide. Shelley, do you have that slide? Not long ago, I saw a Pew survey or a Lifeway survey or something. But they listed the top five things that will grow a strong and healthy church. Hospitality was number five. Number four, young adults ministries. Number three, women's ministries. Number two, men's ministries. The first thing that will grow a strong and healthy church, prayer. So somewhere between prayer and hospitality, we do have the workings of the ministries. But hospitality is number five, and so we look at it today. And not like I'm going to look at every one the next 4 weeks. I'm not. I might get to prayer eventually. But hospitality is that important. I want to share that with you. It's that important. It's in the top five things that will grow a healthy and strong church. If we're not hospitable, if we're not caring for each other, if we're not inviting one another to where we are or how we think or who we are, we're just kind of banging up against each other, right? That's not what the early church was doing. Luke 2 shows us that. So there's a challenge for us here to plan for each other, to invite each other, to offer something to each other, one another, to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Because as the church grows, it has needs, right? And it's not just the needs of the ministries. It's the needs of intimate and personal connections to care for and love each other with joy, the joy of Christ. So there's your challenge as it is Labor Day weekend, something you can work on as you have time off. Okay. Let's close with a prayer. Father God, we thank you for families and friends, and we thank you for adults and little ones and young ones and things that people make up the church, the needs and the ministries of a church, all of it vital. We thank you for your words which correct us and bring us back into our place and drive us and challenge us and commit us to higher thinking. Lord, we pray for the church, not just this one, but the church at large. We pray that we might get it and get it right. Let us be people willing to obey, hear your word, and do it. These things we pray in your name. Amen.